Morning. Ooh, that was loud. Thanks, Alison, for leading us so well there this morning. Really appreciate it. Thank you as well to whoever decorated the church, those involved. It looks great. You've got Charlie's approval. He came into church this morning and said, wow, the church is looking so great, so beautiful. So it's lovely. And I'm seeing a few with Christmas jumpers on. Brilliant. All for it. It's great to see. It's good to feel festive, isn't it? We're turning to Mark's Gospel. Just to let you know where we're going, we're going to be in Mark's Gospel this week, and we're going to be finishing chapter 4 next week, and then we'll take a short break for Christmas. So the aim is to finish Mark chapter 4 before we launch into the Christmas season. So Mark 4, and we're going to read from verse 21. Down to verse 34. Mark 4, verse 21. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe at once, he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is God's word. Let me pray. Father, we all woke up this morning feeling physically hungry, eager to feed ourselves with the food that you have blessed us with. But Lord, help us now as we come before your word to be spiritually hungry, to be hungering after the food of your word, to be ready to receive it, to have ears to hear, to have hearts to receive the good seed of your word. Help us, Lord, to be those who long for truth, like the psalmist, is yearning for that sweet taste of the word of God. That's like the taste of honey to our lips. Lord, may we enjoy this time as we listen to your voice and hear what you have to teach us. And Lord, we pray that as you do that, that you would speak to us and shape us through this truth into the people you call us to be. Lord, help us to be encouraged by what we think about today. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When we first moved into the manse in Cookstown, we inherited something unexpected from the previous occupants. You see, during the vacancy, the church had rented out the house to a Chinese family. And while living there, they had planted some bamboo in the garden. And so when we moved in, it was still there. But for a couple of years, there wasn't anything significant about this plant. But then it started. A little shoot over here, another shoot over there, Then one popped up on the other side of the garden, nowhere near the original plant. Before long, it was sneaking under the fences and appearing in places I never expected. And no matter how many times I cut it back, it kept reappearing and returning. What I hadn't realized was that beneath the surface, the roots had been growing, the roots had been spreading subtly and steadily for years. I couldn't see the growth, but it was happening. And once it finally broke through, it was difficult to ignore, let me tell you. Well, as we come to Mark's gospel this morning, Jesus shares a couple of parables with us to show us that God's kingdom spreads in a similar manner. For like that bamboo, it begins in a small and seemingly insignificant manner. And yet beneath the surface, subtly and steadily, God is working. His word is taking root in people's hearts. His kingdom is spreading across the world. And in God's perfect timing, this kingdom becomes visible and unmistakable. And so with that in mind, I want us to consider the progress of God's kingdom as presented by Jesus here in this passage. A kingdom that is gradually revealed, a kingdom that spreads through sowing, a kingdom that grows steadily, and a kingdom that will one day culminate in a glorious harvest. That's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. So firstly, let's think about kingdom revelation. That's in verses 21 to 25. I'm sure you'll remember back in January when Storm Owen struck this land and it caused widespread power outages. So for many of us, what did we do? We went to the cupboard and we got out our old candles and we lit them. But let me ask you, when we lit those candles, did we then hide them away? Well, no, of course not. Instead, we set them somewhere prominent so that the light could spread far and wide, dispelling the darkness. That's the point of a candle. What is the point of lighting a candle in that situation if all we're going to do is hide it away somewhere? And that is the point that Jesus is making here in verse 21. Look at what he says. He says, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand?" You see, the lamp in this instance is Jesus himself and the message of the kingdom that he had come to proclaim. And so Jesus is showing us here that he didn't come to remain hidden. For what would be the point of that? Rather, he had come to reveal himself as both the Son of God and the Savior of the world, showing us that the way into God's kingdom would be opened up through him. But this revelation of Jesus' identity and mission was being gradually revealed. That's why Jesus, remember, when he performed miracles or cast out demons, he often said and told those people, "Do not speak openly about me," because that would lead to misunderstanding his identity and mission. And yet the long-term plan was that one day everything would be made clear. That's why Jesus goes on to say, "For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." And of course, that happened after Jesus' death and resurrection. For at that point, his identity and his mission as the Son of God and Savior of the world had been clearly revealed. And so with that in mind, Jesus then turns the spotlight back on his hearers, and he says, let's read it, verse 23, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." In other words, if we want to grasp more of who Jesus is and understand more fully what his kingdom entails and is about, then we need to listen to his word. And if we're eager to do this, if we're hungry to do this, God will feed that hunger. He will bless us with more insight and greater understanding, producing more spiritual fruit within us. Whereas if we've no hunger for God's word, if we're indifferent or unresponsive, then even what we have will be taken away. Now, what does that mean? Well, remember the context in which these words are being spoken. Jesus has just shared the parable of the sower. A parable that shows there's four different types of hearing which reveal four types of heart. And so if you've no desire to learn more about Jesus, to find out more about his kingdom, then it shows that you're one of these first three soils. You maybe had a promising beginning, but that's proved to be empty because of your lack of hunger for God's word. And so before we move on, let me apply this into our lives this morning. You might be someone today who is open to the thought of God. Maybe you're reasoning with yourself like this: God, I'm willing to believe in you. If you would just show me a sign, show me a shining bright light, then I promise I will follow you. And yet what you're failing to realize is that God has already shone that light. For he's revealed himself through Jesus, the light of the world. And so stop ignoring the light. Come to Jesus, asking him to bring you understanding so that you might believe in him. And if you are a Christian, then Jesus' words here ought to challenge us to keep listening. Because we never reach a point where we outgrow our need for God's word. Just as the disciples gradually came to an understanding of who Jesus was and what it meant to belong to his kingdom, our own clarity develops over time. That's why we need ongoing exposure to the light of God's word. For if we want to grow in our love for Christ, if we want to see the truths of his kingdom shaping our lives more and more, then we need to remain students of this book. And here's the encouragement. The more we lean in, the more that we listen, the more understanding he will give us. The more we hunger for him, the more he feeds us. And so stop and never approach Scripture passively. Ask him for a fresh hunger. Come to him with that hunger, and he will feed you. So this is the first thing we see, kingdom revelation. Secondly, then, we see kingdom sowing. As we continue through these verses, I want us to consider the two parables at the same time, because they're teaching us very similar truths. And so the first similarity that I want us to notice here is how both of them begin with this simple act of sowing seed. Jesus says in verse 26, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground." Then down in verse 30, Jesus says, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth." But what does this act of sowing represent? Well, last week, you'll remember, we considered the parable of the sower. And in that parable, Jesus explained that this seed that is being sown is the word of God. The word of God being shared, preached, taught, whatever it may be. So what's being spoken about here is the same thing. God's kingdom is extended through the simple act of gospel proclamation. Now that shouldn't surprise us. Because already in Mark's gospel, this strategy has been clearly revealed. Remember back in chapter 3, Jesus appointed 12 apostles so that they could be with him, and then that they could go and speak of him. Yet as we thought about earlier, Jesus' identity and mission was being gradually revealed. It wouldn't be until after his death and resurrection that his identity as the Son of God and Savior of the world would be clearly revealed. And isn't it interesting what happened at that point? What did Jesus do? He commissioned his followers to go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So in light of Jesus' identity and mission as the Son of God and Savior of the world being clearly revealed, his followers are now told, go. Go and boldly proclaim this message. Go and share this message with others. This is God's strategy for kingdom progression. Disciples making disciples who then go on to make disciples themselves. But that's an overwhelming task, isn't it? I'm sure Jesus' followers felt weighed down by that responsibility. And yet Jesus not only assured them of his presence, but he also promised that they'd be empowered for this task. This is what we read in Acts 1. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then what does he say? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that's what happened. Remember on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit is poured out on God's people. And what did they do? They immediately proclaimed the word. They shared Christ. They shared the message of the kingdom. Well, here's the challenge. That mission ought to continue through us today. As Christians, we are called to spend our lives sowing seed. If you're a Christian today, your call, God's will for your life is to sow seed. Now, that might not seem like a significant thing to do, but I want us to grasp the potential of that act. For in the second parable, Jesus speaks of a mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds on the earth. And yet through that simple act of sowing that little seed, a plant is produced that is larger than all the others. And so what we're supposed to see here is how this simple act of sowing God's word every day of our lives has incredible potential. Think about that. Every time we read the Bible with our children, we are sowing seed that has the potential of taking root in their hearts. Every time we speak to that colleague in work about Jesus, that friend in school or that neighbor, we're sowing seed that has the potential to transform their lives. Every time we teach God's word from this pulpit in our children's ministries, our youth work, or our community engagement, we are sowing seed that has the potential of turning Carrickfergus upside down for Christ. That's what Jesus wants us to see here. That every time we sow the seed of his word, there is great potential for growth. Isn't that exciting? Does that not cause your heart to start pumping? Does that not get you out of bed in the morning thinking, I have a purpose, I have a goal. Yes, I may be small and insignificant, my words may be weak, but as I sow that seed, it has potential in the power of God to do great things. So often we see our gospel witness as a burden, yet in reality we should see it as a privilege. For even though God doesn't need us, he delights in using weak and insignificant people like us to sow the seed of his word. That should not only humble us, but it should motivate us to spend every day of our lives on this earth sowing seed. So that's the second thing. Kingdom revelation, kingdom sowing. Thirdly then, let's think about kingdom growth. Now, I'm not a gardener. In fact, I'm not green-fingered at all. But when living in Cookstown, we had a big garden. So I felt like I had to give it a go. Otherwise, it would have went wild. Some of the members of the church probably would have said it did go wild, but that just shows I'm not green-fingered. But anyway, I planted a raspberry bush. And yet for weeks, nothing happened. I couldn't see any visible signs of growth. I thought I'd probably killed it. But then one day I walked out of the front door and the bush was full of raspberries. Did I see that growth? No. And yet that bush and those raspberries had been growing subtly and steadily. And Jesus shows us here in these parables that this is also the nature of kingdom growth. For after the man scatters the seed on the ground, look at what we're told in verse 27. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. You see, the farmer's job is simple. The farmer is just to scatter the seed. It wasn't his job to bring the growth. That's not within his power. And so what does he do? He goes to bed, trusting that nature will do its work. Likewise with the mustard seed, when it's sown on the ground, it's a tiny seed that seems so insignificant. And yet Jesus says in verse 32 that when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants. What does that teach us? That as we faithfully spend our lives sowing the seed of God's word, we must trust God to do the work of growing. For like the farmer can't bring growth to the seed, we can't make the seed of God's word grow in anyone's heart. Only God can do that. In fact, there's a Greek phrase that emphasizes this. For when Jesus says the earth produces by itself, he uses the Greek word automate. What English word do you think we get from that? Automatic. In other words, the power for growth doesn't come from us. It comes from God as he works through the seed of his word. Therefore, we ought to sow the word faithfully. And then we must trust God to bring the kingdom growth according to his will. It's having the mindset of Paul, who when describing his gospel ministry said these words in 1 Corinthians 3, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Yet as we trust God to do this work, we must also remember the nature of this growth. You see, there's times when it appears as if nothing's happening. Like the farmer who doesn't see the seed growing, or like me who didn't see any evidence that the raspberry bush was growing, we don't see clear evidence of kingdom growth, and yet it's happening. Subtly, steadily. This is why the promise of Isaiah 55 is so helpful, I think. We're told, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And so every time we scatter the seed of God's word, God's word will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. Whether that is hardening a person's heart further to Jesus or softening it to the point of faith and salvation. Again, we are just called to faithfully sow the seed. Then, like the farmer, we trust God to bring growth in the lives of those whom he ordains. This is a wonderfully liberating truth. For in our gospel witness, we often put unnecessary pressure on ourselves, don't we? Thinking someone's response depends on how eloquently we present the gospel, or how well we can answer questions, or how deep our Bible knowledge is. But please hear me when I say this. Only God can bring the growth. We're just called to keep sowing and to keep trusting. And part of that trust is engulfing every ministry and every gospel conversation we have in prayer. That's what prayer is, trust. We're looking to God to do what we can't. And so if you're involved in gospel ministry in this church, whether that's sharing God's word with children, older people, or everything in between, keep sowing and keep trusting God to bring the growth, not yourself. If you're a Christian parent who has been teaching your children the gospel and praying for their salvation, keep sowing and keep trusting God to bring the growth. If you're someone who's been witnessing to a colleague in work, a neighbor in your community, or a friend in school or university, keep sowing and keep trusting God to bring the growth. Don't give up. Now, admittedly, that's difficult because it's easy to get discouraged. Sometimes we don't see growth in the people we're witnessing to and praying for, and we assume nothing's happening. In those moments, we might even be tempted to give up. It's not worth it. But may Jesus' words remind us that God is often doing an unseen work. So don't write people off. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop praying. The same applies in regard to our ongoing sanctification as Christians. For sometimes it seems as if we're not progressing in the way that we should. In fact, there's times when it feels like nothing's happening at all. But beneath the surface, God is working to bring spiritual growth in our lives. Our call is simple. Keep sowing the seed of God's word into our lives by regularly studying it, listening to it being preached, discussing biblical truth with other believers, and praying these truths into our lives. And as we faithfully do that, we then trust God to sanctify us, to bring the spiritual growth we long for in our lives. So this is kingdom growth, kingdom revelation, kingdom sowing, kingdom growth. And then lastly, let's think about kingdom harvest. I want you to notice how these parables end. Jesus says in verse 29, "But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Now this picture, this image of the sickle, it points us to the final consummation of God's kingdom. For in the New Testament, the picture of the sickle is an image of that final day when God's redeemed people receive the fullness of their salvation, and when God's enemies come under his righteous and eternal judgment. Then if you jump down to verse 32, we're told about the outcome of the mustard seed. We're told, "When it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out its out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." That is a picture that is rich in Old Testament imagery. For example, God says in Ezekiel 17 that he will plant a small, there's that word, small shoot that will one day become a great tree that will house birds of every kind. And he speaks these words to describe that coming day when all nations will find refuge in God's kingdom. So when Jesus uses this imagery, he's showing us that when God's kingdom is finally consummated, there will be redeemed people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. I mean, think of that glorious picture in Revelation 7. We're going to be reading this around the table, where John saw a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This will be the final outcome of kingdom revelation, kingdom sowing, and kingdom growth. There's going to be a kingdom harvest that will proclaim the glory of our God. And here's the encouraging thing. If you're a Christian today, you're going to be a part of it. But not only should that truth encourage us, it should also motivate us to keep sowing. Because if God guarantees the harvest, then none of our sowing will ever be wasted. What feels small and insignificant now in 2025 in Carrickfergus will one day stand tall in glory. That's why we persevere. That's why we keep investing whatever time we have on this earth in kingdom work. Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But if you're not a Christian, then these truths should act as a warning to you today. For as you currently stand, you don't belong to God's kingdom. Instead, you belong to the kingdom of darkness, and that is a terrible place for you to be. Because this kingdom will one day crumble. And everyone who belongs to it will be judged. And yet there's hope. For Jesus came to open up the way into God's kingdom. And he did this by taking the judgment that we deserve and by dying in our place at the cross. 3 days later then, he emerged victorious from the grave, offering us the gift of salvation if we repent of our sin and trust in him alone. If you're not a Christian this morning, I urge you, do that. Do that today and enter this kingdom that will never end. You see, that bamboo plant in Cookstown may have looked insignificant for a long, long time. But underneath the surface, the roots had been subtly, steadily growing. So when it finally broke through, it was difficult for me to ignore. And Jesus has shown us in these parables that God's kingdom is the same. Even though it begins in small and seemingly insignificant ways, God is subtly and steadily working. His word is taking root in people's hearts, and his kingdom is spreading across this world. And in God's perfect timing, this growth will be visible and unmistakable. So let's keep sowing. Let's keep trusting. Let's keep waiting. God's kingdom will one day fill the earth, and the Lord of the harvest will be glorified. Praise his holy name. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you that as Christians this morning, we belong to this kingdom that will never end. But we pray as kingdom people, you would help us to do what we're called to do, to spend our lives sowing seed with our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, our work colleagues, our friends, our community. Help us to be daily involved in that task of sowing seed trusting and looking to you to bring the growth, in the assurance that your word will never return to you empty or void, and in the knowledge that one day there will be a great harvest. Father, stir our hearts today to do this work. Stir our hearts to be faithful in what we're called to do. And for any who don't know you today, simply show them Jesus and encourage them to trust in him alone for salvation. Amen.